Nuketown Radioactive number 86 for Monday, November 26th, 2012. On this edition of Nuketown Radioactive, I return from a far too long hiatus to talk about the redesigned Nuketown, getting back to geeky things, my gaming life, and the new Star Wars movies. Welcome to Nuketown Radioactive. I'm your host, Ken Newquist, and you're okay. You know, I'll forgive you if you didn't actually remember my name or the podcast or the website, because it has been far too long since the show last came out. It has been far too long since I consistently wrote for Nuketown. It has been far, far too long since I've been able to geek out the way I would really like to geek out. But, well, guys, the long dark tea time of the soul is over, and we're back. Actually, it wasn't so much a long dark tea time of the soul as it was just a really hard year. It wasn't that there were catastrophic things going on. I can be thankful for that, but there was a lot of stuff that was going on at work. I got promoted and became the director of web application development at the college where I work, which was very cool, but it brought with it a whole bunch of new, you know, responsibilities and work and all that kind of thing. And I had this major web projects at work that were just consuming, it seemed, every hour of my life. And what free time I had left over, well, I was actually spending some of it on Nuketown. I've been slowly redesigning the site over the last couple of months. And really, I can't work on both at the same time. I can come up with a new design and tweak it and figure out HTML5 and CSS3 and how to upgrade to Drupal 7, but I can't do that and write at the same time. There's just not enough hours in the day. There might have been enough time to do that when I was 25, but at 40, I got soccer practice with my son, I've got softball practice with my daughter, I've got all kinds of just extra activities that are going on now that, you know, I'm a grown-up. And I have to say, I missed it. I missed all of it. It was a lot of work to keep Nuketown going, and I mean, honestly, I have been doing work on Nuketown. I've had the occasional blog post here and there. But, you know, it's a lot to keep everything up and running and to get the energy to write and to record. But I think the conclusion I've reached, once I have the free time again, which thankfully now I do, I think the conclusion I've reached is really that work is all very much worth it. And, yeah, it's okay to crash on the sofa and watch TV. But at the end of the day, it's more satisfying to create something, to write something, to record something. And while I haven't had many of those opportunities over the last year, now that they have come back around, I really want to seize them and not let it slip by, not let Nuketown or Radioactive go quietly into the night. So I'm back. What does this mean? Well, the podcast is probably going to be recorded about once a month, maybe twice a month if I can get away with it. We'll see how that goes. I'm experimenting with another podcast. Yes, go from no podcasts for a year to two, but I have an idea for another show that I'd like to be able to do, but it's going to take a little time to figure out how I want to do it. Nuketown itself should be seeing a lot more updates. I've set things up now so that it's more tightly intertwined with social media, so you'll be able to stop by the site and see tweets directly within the site. And I've been allocating time every Sunday morning basically to just work on Nuketown. Now, that's been going towards the redesign, but I've found that, you know, taking an hour or two every Sunday just for myself, just to write some quick blurbs for Nuketown, is just really, really satisfying, and I want to keep that up. So you should expect more from Nuketown over the next couple of weeks. We'll see how that goes. I mean, life is always life, and we are heading into the holidays, but it's my intent to really kind of kick things up again and get back to doing what I always loved with Nuketown, which was experimenting, trying out new things, and, well, just having fun.
All games considered, with news.
Now we have a press release.
Views.
The fiction, I know, is not everyone's cup of tea, but this one is pretty creepy.
I like it. Reviews.
It doesn't bother me as much because you're not worried about the weapons tables because there aren't any.
And interviews.
Sean Patrick Fannin.
Greg Payline from Microtactics Incorporated.
I'm Andy Chambers with Games Workshop.
On Tabletop Games, visit us at agcpodcast.info. That's agcpodcast.info.
Life hasn't been all work over the last year and a half. I have had some fun, and I mean, I do keep up my geeky pursuits. It's just I haven't been able to keep up the really creative ones. Case in point, my gaming group. We're still meeting once a week, but it's changed how we're doing things because, well, frankly, everybody got busy. See, I'm not the only one. We're now using this schedule where we game every week, but we're splitting things up. So one week we're doing board games, the next week we're doing role-playing games. And we're playing on Sundays instead of Fridays. And all of this is basically to work around people's schedules with family and jobs and what have you. It's worked out pretty well. One of the biggest changes is that I'm running a adventure path called Second Darkness from Paizo Publishing. We're running it using the Pathfinder rule set. And this is something really different for me. I've never actually run a campaign like this before, where someone else has written everything, and I'm basically just setting up the pieces and executing the plot and what have you. I throw in my own little twists every once in a while, and I've had brief stretches where I've run my own adventures, but for the most part, I'm actually following somebody else's game plan, and it's weird. I mean, I spent the first, 15, 16 years of my gaming life coming up with my own campaigns. But as with Nuketown, as with Radioactive, the problem is time. It is time-consuming to come up with your own campaign. And as much as I love doing it, at the end of the day, it was easier to stop, find something that Paizo had published, and say, well, let's try running with this. It's gone pretty well. If you check out my game day columns on Nuketown, you can see basically kind of a summary of how things have gone. It's difficult to run somebody else's stuff because I think when you write your own stuff, you know what the world is. You can easily make up stuff on the fly. You know who the NPCs are. It's just part of you because you wrote it. When you're running somebody else's stuff, you have to read it, and then you have to read it again, and then just before you run it, you have to write it. You have to read it one more time. Then as you're running it, you have to read it. And I find it a little bit harder to be spontaneous and to actually just keep all the plates spinning when I'm running somebody else's material. It's funny because you would think it would be the opposite. You would think that without the overhead of having to write your own adventures, you would have more time to just kind of read through things and be better prepared. But for me, it's been harder. It's been fun. We've been really enjoying the campaign, and we like the Pathfinder rule set. They're still ridiculously crunchy. I mean, if you're a fan of Dungeons & Dragons in the 3rd edition or 4th edition lines, you know that both of these games love their rules, and Pathfinder is no different from that. I'd love to run something, you know, a little bit more lightweight like Savage Worlds, but, well, you know, Pathfinder's fine for now. I am very much looking forward to D&D Next, which is supposed to come out, I believe, in 2014, because all the playtest material says, oh, this really could be right up my alley. It looks like it's a lot lighter. It looks like it could do the sorts of things I want to be able to do with a D&D game, but it's over a year away, at least. I think we're just going to follow through with Pathfinder, finish up Second Darkness, and then we'll see what we see. Now on my Xbox, I have been playing the heck out of Borderlands 2, which is just a fantastic game. As I've discussed previously, although again, I'll understand if you don't remember it, Borderlands is all about guns, all the time, and it is just a fantastic game. It's the sort of game where you find a really cool gun, and then you blow stuff up with it, and it is a fantastic way to just blow off steam after a tough day at work or dealing with the kids or whatever. It is just, it's that kind of game. And the other great thing is just it's a fantastic multiplayer. It really amps up the gameplay when you add in additional people. The monsters get tougher, the treasure drops get better, and it's just been very, very satisfying. Now, another game that I actually have for the Xbox is Mass Effect 3. But I gotta say, I got stuck. There's this one level where you have to fight this stupid, really huge monster. And if you don't move around in just the right way, you just keep getting eaten. And that really lost its appeal. So I kind of put it on the back shelf. And when Borderlands came along, well, you know, I decided I could play a game where I could just blow stuff up and not have to worry about these stupid pattern matching games that were found in Mass Effect 3. I do plan on going back to Mass Effect at some point because I really do enjoy its space opera, but man, I really do not like that level. Now, finally, I do have a PlayStation 3. I got this for Christmas last year, and it was... it's pretty funny. We upgraded all of our multimedia stuff last Christmas. Actually, Christmas, January. And we got rid of our huge TV from when we were married in 1996. I mean, and by huge, I mean, you know, it was a kind of the CRT type of television with just... It was physically massive. And the screen wasn't even that big. It was just a really big piece of electronics. So we got rid of this thing. We got a 40-inch flat screen. And I got my PS3. And I got MLB The Show, which is a baseball game. And I have pretty much done nothing with it. I take that back. I have actually used my PS3 a lot. But I've used it to play Blu-ray movies. I've used it to stream Netflix. I've used it to stream movies from Amazon. I've used it to play Pandora. Actually, probably not Pandora. I think that was actually through the TV. But in any case, the point is, I ended up using my PS3 for pretty much nothing that it's intended for. It's really a multimedia station for me. And I occasionally play baseball. Now, that's okay, because MLB The Show is probably the best baseball game out there, period, for any platform. But, you know, I kind of feel like I should occasionally try and play some other games on my PlayStation 3. At least before PlayStation 4 comes out. So if you have any recommendations on games I should be playing on my PS3, I would love to hear them. You can email them to me at nuketown@gmail.com.
Quick, shut that door, man.
As if that's going to stop it.
Look, it's not my fault the other sign didn't work.
That's because it's shaped like a star.
No, it's shaped like a tree.
Star!
Tree!
Star! Well, it's too late now. We're the last ones.
What about Lady Hetherington?
She set on fire, then exploded.
And Father O'Leary?
He plucked out his own eyeballs and ate them.
Damn. I wish I'd visited yogsothoth.com more often.
Yogsothoth.com?
Yes. You know, that Call of Cthulhu website. Jolly useful. It's got forums, news, even interviews with the great and the undead.
Oh, I do wish you hadn't said that.
Oh, my lord! Stay away from me, you horror! No!
Well, you'll not take me! What? No! Please, no!
The Yogg Radio, a Cthulhu podcast from yogsothoth.com.
So the single biggest geek news in the last year has to be that we are getting more Star Wars. That's right, episodes 7, 8, and 9 are going to be produced. They're coming out in, I believe, 2015, and... wow. I mean, just wow. I'm astounded. I'm even more astounded because George Lucas won't be writing and directing them. He's going to have creative input, but he has sold the Lucasfilm empire to Disney, and Disney is going to be picking new writers and directors, and I think this is fantastic. I mean, look, I loved the original Star Wars movies, and we're all in a debt to George Lucas for the work that he did, but let's face it, the movies are better when he's not directing them. And honestly, I didn't think we were going to get new good Star Wars films until Lucas had retired in some way and passed the mantle or died. This is better. I think it's better for everyone, Lucas included, if, you know, he could hand off the torch to someone else and, you know, he didn't have to die in the process. I'm really excited about this. I'm not sure how things will play out in terms of the continuity of the larger Star Wars universe. From what I understand, they're still sticking to the movies are canon. Everything else is not canon. I guess the Clone Wars cartoons are now considered canon. I hope they don't do that. I'm hoping that they're able to pull in some stuff from the expanded universe because I really did like the Timothy Zahn books. I liked some of the Dark Horse comics that came out, like Dark Empire. And I think there's definitely cool stuff that could be mined for that. And I like the idea of the generational nature of Star Wars, that we started off with the prequels and we saw Obi-Wan as a young Jedi Knight. And then we saw him become a Jedi Master. And then, you know, in the original trilogy, now we see Obi-Wan as the venerable Jedi Knight and Luke Skywalker as the young Padawan turned Jedi Knight. And, you know, by the end of Jedi, we see him as a true Jedi Knight, but we never actually got to see him as a master. All that happened in the books. And I think it would just be really cool to have a new series where you get to see Luke as a Jedi master training his own students and dealing with the threats that arise then. I think it would bring things full circle and it could be really cool. Now, I will say, I don't necessarily need to see Princess Leia and Han Solo back there. I mean, I wouldn't mind some cameos, but, you know, we have to face facts. Everybody's getting older. I have gotten much older. And while Harrison Ford is awesome, I think the last Indiana Jones movie showed, well, you can only do this for so long. So I think the thing with Luke is that you can have a good Jedi Master. You know, he can be old and venerable and be leading his Padawans, and that still works. I don't know that Han Solo works quite so well when you're in your 70s. My kids are very excited about this as well. One of the big things that happened over the last year and a half was that we watched all of the Star Wars movies. So my kids had seen the original trilogy. I think that had actually even happened before I stopped recording. They had watched all the prequels except for Revenge of the Sith, and now they've seen that. And then we've been watching The Clone Wars faithfully every Saturday morning, and they're really enjoying that. And then we went to Disney World in October, and we went on Star Tours, and they got to build their own lightsabers, and they're really excited about it. And I think the cool thing for me is that I had always wanted to take my kids to see Star Wars in the theater, and it just, the stars really didn't align for that. I mean, the last one that they would have really been able to see, and honestly, they were still just too young, was the Attack of the Clones. It was Revenge of the Sith. To be able to take my kids to see new Star Wars movies in the theater would just be just fantastic. And in 2015, Neutron Lad's going to be, let's see, he'll be 9, and Stargirl will be 12. So that's just cool. It's going to be great ages to go and see Star Wars with. I mean, at that age, I could even go to a midnight showing with them and just kind of have the whole geek experience. So I'm pretty excited about it. I think it has some pretty good potential, especially when you think about what Disney did when they acquired Marvel. I'll freely admit that as a big Marvel fanboy, I was concerned about the fate of Marvel once they were purchased by Disney. But Disney did right by Marvel. The Avengers was just a fantastic film. All of the Marvel movies that came out over the last few years were at least good. Some of them were just fantastic. And it's great that Disney has doubled down on Marvel and hired Joss Whedon to direct and write some of the upcoming features. I mean, he's the guy who is doing the S.H.I.E.L.D. television show. He's doing a lot of the plotting for the upcoming movies, and he's going to direct Avengers 2. So that's just fantastic. And that tells me that Disney knows what they've got. They know that they need to invest in these properties. They need to keep the ball moving. And, you know, when they have something good, they need to keep it up. And they recognize that with Marvel and Joss Whedon. And gosh, it looks like they're going to do the same thing with Star Wars. So I am just very, very excited about that. But what do you think? I would love to hear your feedback. You can email me at nuketown@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle there is nukehavoc. And finally, you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/nuketownsf.